What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Formula America podcast. We're your host, Curtin Dillon, and we're coming at you today with a little bit of Formula One rumors and news. We've got drivers that could potentially be losing their seat midway through the season. We've got a new proposed point structure for 2025. We've got Sergio Perez making demands to Red Bull. Like, there's kind of a lot going on right now. This is pretty exciting right now on an off week.
It feels like silly season is starting to ramp up a little bit. Like we're on the precipice of who's going to be the first domino to fall for it all to go cray-cray.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel it build up. And for a little bit there, I was actually getting a little kind of dismayed because I was like, maybe silly season's not going to happen. Maybe everybody's just going to sign like a one-year contract and stay where they're at. But I think I'm back on the train where it's going to get wild pretty soon.
I think it's coming. There's going to be blood in the streets.
Oh, Jesus.
But let's get into, a couple of things. You already said Checo making demands of Red Bull for a three-year contract, which was already denied. I can't help but wonder how much of this is just the news and clickbait and whatnot, or like, he's not actually crazy enough to think he can demand a three-year contract after he's almost lost his seat about a half dozen times. Like, it's a bold move, Cotton. I think I'd be pretty happy just to be sticking around and maybe getting one or two.
It is. And you know what I was thinking, though? Maybe it's one of those deals where it's kind of like the art of negotiation. Like, we come in high, they come in low, and then we meet in the middle. But I honestly think that Checo, if he continues, like we've said many times, he'll probably stay at Red Bull. But I think he has earned himself into a spot that Valtteri Bottas found himself in Mercedes. Where he kept getting one year kickers. Like, oh, you stay around for one more year. Because, I mean, look at his performance last year. Like, we were having talks about him midseason, maybe getting pulled from that car. And so I don't think, even though he's doing enough, they won first place and second place in the Drivers' Championship last year. I don't think he's done enough to warrant a multi-year deal. And so I think he'll keep getting these one-year extensions until Liam Lawson's ready to move up.
Yeah. Not Danny?
Well, we will get into that, but no, I think everybody knows Liam Lawson is the future of Red Bull, and so
not
I think
Yuki. Danny,
I think definitely not Yuki. I think Danny and Yuki are just trying to survive and keep their head above water at this point.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think Yuki's earned the top spot at Alpha. It's not Alpha anymore. V-Carb, whatever it's called now.
Yeah,
Toro Rosso. But he just doesn't seem to be beloved by the Red Bull team.
I think a lot of it maybe has to do with he was not so much forced on them, but there was kind of pressure to bring him on board because of, you know, the whole Honda ties that he has.
Which will be interesting with the whole Lance Stroll and Honda coming into Aston Martin in 2026. Like, if he's going to be around.
Yeah. And so, you know, one of the other things we're talking about is drivers under threat of losing their seats mid-season. There's been a lot of talk about Danny and a lot of speculation before Chinese Grand Prix came out. There was a lot of speculation that he had two races, Japan and China. If he didn't get on it, he was out of there. I don't believe it, though. I think that Danny is going to be given the year. I think he'll do enough to kind of quiet those conversations a little bit. But I think next year we're going to see Danny Ricciardo and Liam Lawson in that AlphaTauri, I think we'll see them there. And I'm still holding on to hope that we're going to see Fernando Alonso and Yuki Tsunoda at Aston Martin.
I'm kind of hoping for Fernando Alonso, Carlos Sainz at Aston.
That would be the dream.
But
we all know, I think that, you know, more realistic would be, you know, somebody else.
Yeah. Honda's going to want Yuki. So you don't think Danny's at risk of losing his seat mid-season?
I think Danny will do enough to keep it. Okay. Because, you know, Danny...
He was doing it in China right up until Stroll struck.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so as long as he, you know, every couple races has a decent performance, I think he brings enough on the marketability side, and his persona is enough to keep him there. You know, that team's not one of those teams like a Haas or a Williams that is struggling for money right now.
Yeah.
And so I think that extra positive PR is worth more for them.
Fair enough. What about Logan Sargeant? He's the other one that's got rumor mills floating around.
Yes, he does. So if you haven't seen, there's been tons of rumors that Logan Sargeant's final race is going to be the Miami Grand Prix and that they're going to move up Kimi Antonelli and put him in that seat. That's problematic, and I don't foresee that happening.
Yeah.
And there's a few reasons. So you look at the struggle that Williams is having right now. They've scored 0 points. They, as good as they were doing last year, they've kind of, compared to the other cars, taken a step back this year. Even Alex Albon, who was applauded for how great he did last year, he hasn't scored any points yet.
Yep.
And so by replacing Logan with another driver, who we'll go through his history in a second, another inexperienced driver, you're kind of got more of the same. Like, you've got a risk of somebody who doesn't really know the car. He's not going to come in and score points, I don't think. They're going to have more crashes and more underperformance. So I don't foresee them wanting to do that.
I don't know. I think playing devil's advocate, it can't get any worse than what Logan Sargeant is doing.
You're not wrong there.
Like, and if Logan's not showing progression and not showing progress and it can't get any worse, I'd throw another cool. Start getting Antonelli spun up, start getting him experience. And that way he hits the ground in 25 or 26 running with a whole lot more experience, because what is he going to do? Crash the car and not score? It's called the Logan Sargeant special at this point. Like, I don't. So right. I agree with a ton of your points, but I also don't think I'd rather focus on getting another driver with more potential experience than worrying about points right now.
All right. So here's the other part to that, because I think that I could see them doing that for a more experienced driver, but there's a couple, you know, hurdles that Kimi Antonelli has to face. Yep. So first off, he's in F2 right now. He's only 17. So, you know, Max Verstappen came in at 17, but since then the rule has changed. You have to be 18. He's not going to be 18 until, I don't have his birth date pulled up in here. But so because of that, he doesn't have a super license. So he would have to have special approval from the FIA to even be allowed in Formula One. So, I mean, it's, he's all in to, if you look at his history, he went from F4 straight to F2 and he skipped F3 altogether. And so while he's doing pretty decently in F2 right now, he also there was an interview with him talking about how hard it was for him, for one, to get a hold of the F4 car. And then he finally got a hold of that, had another season, did pretty well. And then he moved right up to F2, and he was saying the F2 car again, he struggled because it was such a big jump. And so for him to go straight into an F1 car mid-season after being in an F4 car, you know, how long ago? Not that long ago.
Yeah.
That's a big kind of jump for him. So I don't know. There's kind of a lot working against him. And if I'm James Vowles, I don't know if I want to. Because you also look at, Kimi Antonelli is a Mercedes Academy driver. Yeah. James Vowles came out and said he does not want to be a Mercedes junior team. And Williams has their own Academy drivers. They have two Academy drivers in F2 and one in F3 right now. So for them to put him in that seat above one of them, which, I mean, Red Bull's done it plenty of times at this point, but it's not a good look. And he's going to go to Mercedes. So he's going to get there as soon as he starts to get spun up and perform well. They're going to yank him and put him into Mercedes anyways.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see it. I think that they should go with either stick with Logan at least till the end of the year and then put somebody else in. As bad as that sounds,
I don't know.
Try to get somebody with some experience. Maybe pull somebody out of retirement.
I think I'd can Logan, and there's plenty of drivers on the market right now. Throw Bottas in the car if he wants it or something. But Logan's had long enough to do something.
Anything.
And I mean, it's just everyone was ecstatic that the car didn't crash this past race. Like,
yeah. At this point, it would almost be better just to run one car. Just have Alex Albon out there. At least he's not crashing at every race.
And maybe have enough money to have an extra chassis and repair parts and development. Like,
right, there you go. Like, Logan, you are now the reserve driver.
Yeah, we're running one car operation. I don't. So that'd be it. You bring up some really good points about Antonelli. That's super interesting. So maybe he's not the answer, but Logan ain't either. So I think Williams is in a really tough spot.
That's true. I am excited to see Antonelli because, you know, doing some research on the guy, he's kind of being lauded as the next Max Verstappen. And a lot of it is because he's a very aggressive driver. Like right now, his teammate is Ollie Bearman, and they've come up from karting together.
Yeah.
And so Ollie's got that more like smooth classic driving style, and they just keep talking about how Antonelli is aggressive. And it's like very reminiscent of a young Max Verstappen. So he does have a future, but I don't think he's the right fit for right now in that.
It excites me to have Liam Lawson, Bearman, Antonelli, a lot of this talent in the wings. It'd be a lot of fun. You know, this is one of the things I'm derailing what we planned on going to, but they were talking about part of the niceties of having an Andretti come in, having an 11th team on the board is that you have more seats available for a lot of this young talent. People are not retiring at 30 anymore, opening seats up for the young talent. Everyone, you know, Fernando's going to be what, 57 next year. You know, they're going a whole lot longer. There's not as many seat openings, and you've got people like Liam Lawson, but Bearman, quite a few people that have showed some real promise that are waiting 3-4 years to get a seat. And I don't think that's sustainable.
You've got a bottleneck happening in these junior programs. Like there's so many talented drivers and they're having to go to Super Formula or Formula E or look elsewhere now because there's nowhere for them to go.
Yeah. And you know, if you win F2, you're not allowed to race in F2. So you have to do something. And so I would love to see some of these guys on the track more. I'm excited for Liam Lawson to get on the track. He did such a good job. I want to see him grow and progress. I mean, it's just like watching Piastri. Everyone, I think, kind of enjoys watching Piastri. He's not the number one driver, but man, he's got a ton of potential. I want to see him grow. And I think there's guys on the track that don't deserve some of their seats, and I'd rather put new people in.
Yeah, I definitely agree there. All right, so let's look at the other one who's rumored to have some contract negotiations going on right now, and that is Nico Hülkenberg.
The way he hates it being said, apparently.
So the rumor is now, actually, Sky Sports Germany published a story saying that it's been confirmed to them that he is in the final stages and about to sign a contract that would be see him at Audi for 3 years, potentially.
That doesn't surprise me at all. He's a German driver. He did, I believe he raced Le Mans with Audi. I could totally see him moving over there, and he deserves a good seat, or at least a decent one.
I think Nico Hülkenberg is kind of pulling a Fernando where he's like in the prime of his career right now. His stock is higher than ever, and it's kind of being wasted down there in that Haas. And we see every weekend he's putting that car in places it doesn't belong. So
yep.
I'm excited. I could see him going there. I think that there's a lot of merit to that rumor. But the question I have for you, I'm pretty sure I know where you're going to go with this, but the rumor is he'll be there next year. So there's two drivers there currently. Both of them are ending their contract this year. Is anybody going to stay, or are they both going to be out?
I think Bottas is out. Zhou Guanyu stays.
I figured you were going to go that way, and I was thinking about it, and it does make a lot of sense. You said Zhou Guanyu's hungry. Zhou Guanyu comes with a lot of money. And after seeing China, I think that, you know, the draw to having a Chinese driver on the grid is pretty high.
Yep. And Bottas is just living his good life, letting the wind blow through his glorious mullet, and doesn't seem to care. Like,
so yeah, I just don't know. I don't foresee Audi wanting either one of them there, so I think whoever it is going to have a 1 year extension.
Yeah, I agree.
And so I mean, we'll see. I'm sure that they'll be like, hey, if they offer that to Zhou Guanyu, I'm sure he'll snatch that up in a second. I don't know if Bottas, he's probably got a little bit of PTSD from his 1 year extension time at Mercedes. So I think if they offered it to him, he might tell him to suck it and move on. But I definitely think Zhou Guanyu would be more than happy to take a 1 year extension at this point.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think he's going to just want to stay in the sport. I think, and I mean, for all intents and purposes, they're not that far off from each other. I know Bottas has a lot more experience, but I mean, Zhou Guanyu's got 0 points. Bottas has 0 points.
Yeah.
Like they've been scoring relatively similar. I think I would take the guy that brings money and future and hunger if I were Audi. Even if I don't plan on keeping him around for all that long, I would still, if I have to keep one, I'd go with him.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, either way, you're not missing out on any points by getting rid of one over the other at this point.
Nope. So Speaking of points, I'm going to take that segue on into the new points.
You're masterful wizard when it comes to segues.
I'm just good like that. I can just see it. It's like playing chess, man. I'm like 12 moves ahead. It's definitely not ADD or anything like that. So we're talking about points, and I've seen a lot of different things come out. So there's a proposal for new point system that essentially changes the bottom four. So it'd go from eighth place getting 4 points, and then it goes to ninth place right now getting 2. Instead, it would be seventh place still gets 6, eighth gets 5, and then we go 4-3-2-1 down to 12th place. So you're essentially changing 8 through 12. To allow, and the argument is the top five is so tight that the bottom teams are trying to get points, and there's generally one spot available to them, that they don't have the ability to really compete for more points. And so right now we've got three teams in the bottom, Williams, Alpine, and Kicksauber, that all have 0 points for the season. So the argument is, hey, they'd probably get a few more points. It doesn't affect the top at all. The top's so far ahead, it's not even funny. But it would allow the bottom to kind of separate itself more visually. I've actually seen a ton of pushback on this. A lot of critics are saying it's worthless, not worthwhile. It only affects the bottom, and who cares? Doesn't affect the top. But I think this is a good idea. I think that it doesn't change a whole lot except enabling the bottom to have a more visual ranking, rack and stack, and I'm competing to get to 12th place to get points. Instead of 10th, which is, you know, hopefully Lance Stroll runs into the back of somebody and takes his car out so that we have a chance for points for 1 point.
Yeah. Like, I think it's funny to be like, oh, people are saying it doesn't matter. Well, I know who it does matter for, and that's all those teams at the bottom.
Yeah.
And so from my understanding, to get this passed, all it has to do is get 5 teams that vote yes on this. And I'm looking at the standings right now. Pretty sure I see 5 teams that are going to say, yeah, let's do this. So
yeah, you got Aston Martin in 5th place at 40 points, and then it drops to 7 with VCarb, 5 with Haas, and then 0-0-0.
Yeah. So that seems like a sure bet. Like 2025, we're probably going to see, you know, a new point structure.
And I
don't think it matters for the top teams. It's not going to change anything. But yeah, that's a lot for these, you know, smaller teams and these teams that don't get a lot of points, don't get a lot of money to have the idea or the opportunity to score some points every now and then, let them have it.
Yeah. I read one article that was like, you know, F1 keeps on installing these gimmicks like the sprint race with more points and the fastest lap, and it's made no change to the sport whatsoever. And I'm like, I totally disagree. It's made no change to the top. Red Bull and Mercedes have won by 1,000 points before the season's over anyway. So you're right. Those little gimmicks don't really matter, but that 1 or 2 points makes a huge difference to the bottom and racking and stacking those teams. And so I do think it's important.
People are always resistant to change. It's just one of those things. And then after a while it kind of dies down and it becomes the new norm and everybody's fine with it, you know? Yep. So I don't see this. I don't see any negative effects coming from this. I think this is fine.
Yeah. I completely agree.
Let them get some points. Let them eat cake.
Dang, you took the words out of my mouth. All right, I got one more thing I'm going to throw in. This is an article that made Formula1.com top news.
Oh.
Okay, this is big stuff. I think this could be earth-shaking to what happens next year. But Fernando Alonso explains that sensitive Lance Stroll, in quotes, sensitive, is key to Aston Martin's success. And in Alonso's words, is that he says, and I quote, I'm trying to find the good part. I don't want to read a whole bunch. I think we have two different driving styles in some conditions. We have two different feelings for the car. I think Lance is a lot more sensitive to things than what I am, which I think is very important for the team. I think the analysis that Lance can reach and can feed back to the team is crucial to us and to improve the car. I'm a little bit less sensitive to things sometimes, and that is not a good thing. I think we are both trying to help Aston as much as we can. I think that the direction we develop the car and finalize normally the setups on a weekend is exactly the same. We arrive at the same conclusion in a different way. I think it's very important for Aston Martin to keep him.
I think it's very important not to forget that Lance's dad just wrote him a big fat check.
That's going to be my question. How much money did Alonzo get paid to make that stupid statement?
I imagine him giving that statement in a concrete room with a chair and a light. They give him a piece of paper. He's reading it. And off to the side is a couple dudes with like baseball bats or something like that. And he's like, yes, Lance is very sensitive and important for the team. I feel like it has to be that, because it's, you've got Alonzo making that statement. You've got Mike Crack coming out and always in support of Lance and kind of like blindly saying things that we can all see is not true. Yeah. Like coming out and saying how good of a driver Lance Stroll is and how his penalties are unjust and all this. And everybody else is like, did you watch the same broadcast that we watched? Because we clearly saw it on replay multiple times, high definition, slow motion. He was not even looking at Danny, and he has ruined many races, ruined many cars, and he's ruined Aston Martin's chance of getting anywhere near the top of the field when it comes to the constructors. It's like, how long are we going to sit here and allow this to happen? This is absolutely ridiculous.
And at the same time, it's funny because we have this new Alonso that all the new people into F1 are like, he's such like a good fatherly figure. Alonso has been Darth Vader for 20 years. He has never cared about a teammate. In fact, he's gone out of his way to sabotage teammates in the past. Yes. It's like, no, this is not. Alonso enjoys being Darth Vader. Do not think this is all a facade, okay?
Yeah. Anybody that doesn't know what Alonso is capable of, look up, what was it, Hungary 2007, when Alonso sat in the pits to prevent Lewis Hamilton from coming in and getting a flying lap in to take the pole position from him or whatever it was. And so Alonso is masterful. He's always one step ahead. So for him to say, like, you know, he's not as sensitive, like, look when he came out of that final turn in China and he immediately corrected it when, you know, Carlos Sainz bent it into the wall.
Yep.
Like, Alonso knows what he's doing. He's very smart. He knows who's paying him more money probably than he's ever made in his life. So
yep.
I don't take that for anything right there. I feel like that was a POW statement that he was forced to say.
I don't think he was forced to say it. I think he got a fat check in his pocket for saying it. It was definitely carrot, not stick.
Yeah. Alonso's living fat right now. So whatever. I don't put much weight behind that.
No, I don't either, but I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, man. Well, this is pretty exciting. We've got a lot of things on the cusp of happening. I can feel it. And now we're coming up to what, next week? We've got the buildup for another sprint weekend. We've got Miami Grand Prix. And we know what happened last year at that. It was a huge spectacle. All the Europeans hated it. All the Americans loved it. We're going to see maybe LL Cool J calling people out like WWE.
An NFL game.
Yeah, it's one of these, like, it's such an event. Like, I would actually just love to go there and just be part of the atmosphere. Not even for the racing, just for the atmosphere. But yeah, we got that coming up next week. If you like this podcast, make sure you leave us a rating and a review and share it with a friend. Follow us on Instagram, Formula_America. And I think that might be it for this one, Dylan. You got anything else?
That's all I got, Kurt.
All right. Well, on that note,
stay classy, America.
We'll see you next time.